hello.
Hi there.
And that silence is tribute to Chris, who is no longer... No, he's not with us today. He has to work.
Pouring one out for my homie, who's at work and not dead.
No. He is active in our Google Doc.
He is.
And is on break, but cannot be... I won't say physically with us, because this is an audio medium, but sonically with us. There we go. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'd much rather be with us than working on a Saturday morning. But sometimes you have to do it. It happens.
It's been one of those weeks for him and me. I don't know about you, but
surprisingly enough, I had an easier week because I had 3 days of training in a different building on a different system to be like a super user.
Shaking it up.
Yeah, so I actually had an easier week than normal because I got to leave at 5 o'clock. Like a normal human being.
Feels good, man.
Yeah, it was nice for a week. So.
Yeah, I started my new position this past week.
And that's right.
It's good overall, but man, there's a lot of crossed wires.
I also heard there was an issue of you coming in to train and also people running out of work all at the same time. So It was just kind of a cluster of... It was a cluster of a week. It's from what I hear.
Shout out to your brother-in-law for helping me along with that. Thank you, Tim. Friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, and then next week, I also get to go in for training because I get to learn a new state. So, yay.
Ooh, see, that'll be nice. See, next week, I got to go back to my normal end of month bullshit. So, I'm going to have a busy I'm going to have a busy week. They're definitely going to make me... make up for it.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, with my new position, like, it's end of the month, like, everything needs to get done.
Very similar.
There's not enough time to get everything done. So I'm not gonna have to deal with it nearly as much as Tim will, but
it's like you have your normal responsibilities plus it's the end of the month, so you have even more you have to make sure it gets done. It's like, okay, guys.
But you know what? We'll do it. We'll get through it. It'll be fine.
How dare we all have goals and aspirations that, you know,
to further ourselves?
Exactly. Why do we have goals? What are we doing? This is the whole reason Chris is working on a Saturday, because he couldn't just, you know, he had to have, you know, he wanted to excel in what he does. And
all right, this is a plea to everyone listening right now. You need to tell two friends who then they tell one of those friends tells two other friends to listen to this. So we can have different kinds of goals.
Yes. Yes.
It's starting to work because now we have a new sponsor, which we'll get to later.
We do.
And you'll hear from them in a little while. So the ball's starting to roll. It's a tiny little snowball, not even a snowball yet, probably even smaller than that. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is it started. So yay us.
It's getting there.
For those goals. So tell your friends, because the more people who listen to this, the more fun stuff we get to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun stuff, I've seriously just been engrossed in Apex Legends.
Yes, what I'm hearing.
Since the last time we recorded, like, we tried it out after we got done, and man.
Yeah, I think it was an hour after we recorded the last episode, all of us jumped on and started playing, right?
Not only did we win the first game we played ever, but that, I mean, which helps probably me like the game a lot, but it's doable and it's pretty silky smooth.
I've even gotten the chance to try it out on PC since then. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's just because of the gaming PC I built for myself, but it feels better on the PC. It just does.
I bet it does. Like, I don't know. I'm on such a console kick right now.
Yeah.
And I want to just be away from my computer after I get off work.
Sure. And with the computer, there's, you know, there are certain things of like remapping the keys onto the mouse and figuring out the best fit for playing. I would say shooting is probably better. I mean, it's a first person mouse and keyboard. It's always just going to feel great.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of those side abilities I think are better on console, like Pathfinder's grappling hook.
In terms of just being able to use them easily, yeah, or?
Yeah, just like the fluidity, because on PS4, what, you just hit L1, right?
Yeah.
Like you aim, hit L1, boom, you're off. I guess maybe if I just wanted to remap my keys a little more, I think on PC it's Q.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
So it's, but or I'm, E. I'm, yeah, but like E is like to pick things up. So like,
okay,
the only issue I have with that is that I'm used to some games that we play on PC where Q and E are my like I can lean. Yeah. So
yeah.
And I get into that mindset on PC that I want to do that. And next thing you know, I'm like launching my grappling hook and trying to take off. So
I would suggest to you to look up some high, like quote unquote, high level Pathfinder players out there. That dude is insane. Like the Pathfinder itself, which is a robot dude who can make your team a little more mobile by grappling hooks, whatever. If you play with or watch a high level Pathfinder player, like it's insane how vertical and how far you can travel with that guy.
Yeah, I think you and I were talking about this because the first game we played, you were Pathfinder, and there was like a couple other matches later where I tried him out and I was like, I don't know if I'm sold on this guy. And you said, yeah, if you stick with it, he gets better, and I can confirm that he is. He might be my favorite character to play, because. Yeah.
If you use his normal, not his ultimate grappling hook ability, but just his grappling hook, and you can swing out and use momentum to like launch yourself way up in the air and travel 100 feet or something like that, you can get behind people so easy. Like,
I'm trying to think of another character slash hero you can play in that game that's quite as useful, and other than maybe Lifeline, because her, you know,
just extra ability,
heal. I don't know if there's one. Granted, I haven't gotten to play the two new heroes yet.
I've leveled up enough to get unlock one of them, and I did Caustic, who is a area denial character or less.
Yeah,
it says he's defense. I wouldn't call him that. He's more offensive minded, but
sure.
He basically can lay poison gas traps wherever he pleases, and then his ultimate is he calls down a barrage of poison gas over an area. So basically, it's area denial. And it doesn't do nearly enough damage, in my opinion, so he's a little weak. But that can be changed. Be a little more... he can go head-to-head with other characters a little easier. We all know what the other one is, what, Mirage? And...
Yeah.
I have obviously unlocked him yet, but someday. Supposedly, soon-ish, there will be duos and solos.
That would be
maybe nice. Maybe four-man squads, but I honestly think the balance is pretty good with three.
I think you might be right. The more we've talked about that, just with the abilities, I would be very interested to see what duos is like.
That could be... That makes character selection much more important than
exactly.
It does with normal squads.
Exactly.
We should all get together, or not together in the same place, even just hop online all at the same time, try to get in the same
just
lobbies.
Just try it out, yeah.
But it's also a great gaming day thing for next November.
Very much
does,
so.
But does this game have the legs to make it to still be popular and fun by then?
I think that would depend on what they continue to do with the game. If it's stagnant, no. I feel like it'll get old, not extremely quickly, but you could find yourself just, I don't want, whatever. I mean, again, that would depend on if they come out with solos, because sometimes I don't want to, like, sometimes I do want to hop on and play. I just don't want to play with two randoms.
I've played a lot of it this past week when you guys haven't been playing, and I've been playing with randoms. And
well, I saw that one match you had.
Well, here's the thing. Like, every time I've played this week without anybody else, I have won at least one game with two randoms. more often than not, it's somebody who's not great at the game, which isn't their fault necessarily, but like,
sure,
it can not being able to talk, like, because I don't want to talk to strangers.
True.
Or hear your kid crying in the background for 20 minutes. Like,
yes.
So I usually just leave everything on mute. But like we said last time, you can communicate just with a pinging button. So, I mean, it's not difficult.
The pinging, well, and I should say, now that we're talking about that, the pinging system on the PS4 is better than on PC. But then again, I have my pinging button
set up. Middle mouse button?
It's the middle mouse button. It's the scroll wheel, like, to click it. So it's not horrible, but it's just easier on PS4 to ping something real quick.
Just my initial thought is I would honestly change it to Q, because that's what it is on the old Battlefield games.
That's not a bad idea.
When you could target people, you know?
It's not a bad idea. And then the middle mouse button could just be the your sight ability. Well, because I have four buttons on my mouse, and my extra two buttons I have as one of them's my super ability, and the other one's crouching. So if I'm running, I can just hold it down and slide or crouch or whatever. So
makes sense.
Yeah. It's
so they have put out a roadmap this past week.
Apex Legends did?
Yes, for what their plans are for the next three months, something like that.
Okay.
I'd look it up, but my microphone's in the way of the keyboard and I don't want to make a lot of noise. but they've already added a new gun to the game this past week, like the Havoc assault rifle. And I mean, that's what, 2 weeks after the game came out, they're already adding content, which have to, because of how Fortnite's doing stuff.
Right. I was going to ask you that, because I when you were playing with Brad and you guys said that there was a new weapon, I was going to ask what it was. Do you think this is the benefit of coming out with a Battle Royale so late?
Kind of, right?
Like after... It's after, you know, H1Z1, it's after PUBG, it's after Fortnite. It's, you get to see all the things that worked and didn't work, and then you just throw them into a game, and it's like, and this is what we think could improve it.
So, like, because Respawn is solely focusing on Apex for the foreseeable future, like, it should have the legs to go a long time past the next gaming day.
Yeah, it should.
And, like, it's... The ceiling is incredibly high, like can't even see it high, right? Because they could do whatever they want, and it's a free-to-play game, so you really can't go wrong. And it's forcing the hand, which is every single time since PUBG or H1Z1, like when we started this fucking podcast a couple years ago, like every single time there's a new Battle Royale, we're like, good, because that will force other dev team to step their game up, and time and time again that has happened, and it is happening now, to the point where like Blackout is completely revamped the map and added a bunch of crazy new shit with their newest season thing they have going on. Fortnite is exploring the possibility of being able to respawn your teammates, which Apex did and is immensely successful in everyone's eyes.
Yep.
Fortnite also has a thing going on where if you complete some challenges before a certain date, you can get the next season 8, you can get the whole battle pass for free instead of spending $10 on it. Like, all this stuff is like, please come play our game. And I mean, hopefully the gameplay remains good, whether it's the weapon meta or just Fortnite being Fortnite and whatever crazy story stuff they do every single season. It's forcing, Apex is forcing everybody to step their game up, which is better for the battle royale genre as a whole, even though it really, does it have a right to have like be around as much as, like, it's not a fad anymore.
No,
it's well beyond that.
Yeah, this is a thing. This is a thing that's going to be around for a while. How does this affect like Battlefield 5, which is coming out with a new Battle Royale mode? Is it next month?
2 weeks, I believe.
It's in 2 weeks.
Yes. It was supposed to be with the game at launch and then got pushed back. Not DICE doesn't have a team working on it. It's a separate dev team. We're solely working on this battle royale mode.
Okay.
And I can't think of their name, so apologies, and I'm not going to look it up because microphone's in the way of the keyboard.
Again.
so apologies. But yeah, it's a separate dev team working on it. I mean, what is it? It's called Firestorm.
Yeah.
Trailers make it look cool. Battlefield 5 had a lukewarm reception upon release. And we talked about it last time, how it's didn't sell well at all. And EA's blaming the campaign and the fact that the Battle Royale mode got pushed back. And then they go ahead and also help release Apex. So, I mean, I don't know how it's going to do, honestly.
I mean, I don't think they expected Apex to be as popular as it is.
I don't think so either. But at the same time, like, someone had to know, in EA had to know, that a free-to-play Battle Royale with AAA polish on it, like, was going to do decent.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like.
Yeah. So who's going to go play Battlefield 5's?
The people who Battle Royale, are the hardcore people for Battlefield.
Sure.
Or Battlefront. Definitely will. Or, I mean, and everyone who has the game already, I'm assuming, will at least try it out.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Had I bought it, I would have at least checked it out. Might as well.
I mean, you paid $60. You might as well see all the content that you paid for.
Mm-hmm. But even going forward, you're gonna have rival Battlefield or Battle Royale games that you own. Yeah.
Oh, as EA as a company, yes.
Yeah,
you have competing franchises. And like I said before, like when we were talking before we started recording, there's only so much time in the day, and you only have so much money, and so where are you gonna put it?
I could see it working out if. Whatever, you know, Battlefield 5's, what's it called again? Firestorm. Firestorm. I wanted to call it Fireside for some reason. Right? That's why I kept, like, Fireside.
Fireside chat.
If Firestorm comes out, and I mean, given that it's going to be a Battlefield 5 Battle Royale, I think it's going to probably be a little more PUBG realistic feeling.
I would assume so.
So in that sense, it might actually not be all that bad.
It could find its niche.
Right. Because, you know, some of those hardcore Battle Royale players who, you know, don't like Fortnite but like PUBG, or, you know, that don't want these quote-unquote heroes with special abilities might want to be like, I want to play a Battle Royale where it's, you know, skill it's against just skill.
Gunplay.
Right. Yeah. And that might actually work. I could see that working, but it would have to be done well. Correctly. Right. And I don't know exactly how you do that, because what makes something like Apex so fun is because you can launch yourself with a grappling hook and you're a robot, or, you know, all these little things.
Exactly. That you can just take off into the sky and go skydiving. Like it.
Right.
So, I agree with you. I think it will be fine, depending on how how the gameplay is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not being done through DICE. Like, I mean, they have the Frostbite engine, so it's going to be okay.
Sure.
And I'm assuming it'll have the same gunplay mechanics. So, that's usually what people like about Battlefield. To my knowledge, the squad play for Battlefield or Firestorm or whatever, you're still going to have your medic class, your engineer class, all that stuff. There's going to be vehicles and tanks on the map. Like,
okay.
So it's going to be quote unquote realistic a la PUBG, but at the same time, you still have your Battlefield classes and abilities there.
Mm-hmm.
So that will make it very different. And whether or not, I mean, I keep coming back to it. Like, it depends on how good the gameplay is.
Agreed. I'd also have to see the maps. I mean, because I know Battlefield games, you know, historically have extremely large PvP maps because they have vehicles, and you know, so that's something they've always been able to do.
So I mean, and from what I can tell, that's what this is going to be. I don't know if it's only going to be one map at launch, or several, but like they've been very hush hush about the details of it too. So like,
sure,
nobody really knows, and it's very close to being out there. So I don't know. I don't wish ill upon it. Like the more battle royales, the better, because the more, I mean, if you can create that niche for yourself.
And again, the more that come out that are great, it forces everybody else to get better. And that's only a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's a new mode for Blackout, which is kind of cops and robbers-y. And you can also have your teammates respawn like Apex. Although Blackout had a mode a month or two ago that if you survived to the next circle and your teammates were dead, but you were alive, they'd respawn. So, I mean, Apex isn't, you know, way ahead of the game or curve there, but
yeah, I mean, it's similar, but also still different because you have to go and pick up their, you know,
right. Whatever. You have to, if you can, if you don't res them in time and they die, you can get their tag, quote unquote, and then you have to go find a specific respawn point to call them back in. I don't know, man. It's overall like Apex is changing the game for.
Yes, and in a
battle royales,
and in a great way. So
and maybe game like we're in hard to say a time span. What for the past 2 years, like it's everything's battle royale centric, with all the different ones that come out, and I'm putting this akin to, in 2006 when, or maybe 7, 8 somewhere in there, whenever Red Dead Nightmare came out.
Sure.
Started
yeah.
the whole fucking zombies. Zombie thing.
Yeah, I agree. Everything had a zombies mode. Yeah.
Literally every, or a horde mode, like yep. something. Like yep. Or Gears 2 did it.
Yep.
Like,
oh my this God, is you're right.
Everything. The same thing just with Battle Royale. And that's not a bad thing.
No. No, not at all.
It will reach a tipping point, but I can't see when that will happen yet. So we're not even close to the middle of it, I think.
And didn't these battle royale-esque games like spawn from zombie survival games?
DayZ.
Yeah. So like it all tracks.
Yeah.
To zombies.
There's a through line completely from zombies horde mode.
Now to battle
royale. To DayZ, which DayZ then someone made a battle royale mode in that, and then everyone's like, oh.
Yep. Hey, man.
Yeah. That's a through line that I haven't thought of before, but yeah, that's definitely starting
it's all spotting.
Over a decade ago to now.
It's a great. All right.
Oh. What's definitely going to be interesting is, so EA put out Apex, EA mm-hmm. is putting out Firestorm, EA Battlefield, EA is now putting out Anthem, and all of these things are competing against each other.
Yeah, all at the same time.
And yeah, all relatively sort of like pretty, I mean, Battlefield came out a few months ago, but
sure.
That's still pretty recent. And now you have Anthem coming out in a couple weeks, you have Firestorm coming out in a couple weeks, like they're taking money away from themselves in a weird way. Right?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting like technique or strategy. So you're going to have a free-to-play battle royale. Then you're going to have a what we would assume a very realistic, not free-to-play battle royale with all their environment. You know, like if you've ever played a Battlefield game, you can like blow up walls and shit mm-hmm. like that. So that could be interesting. And then they're also trying to dip into the, it's not an MMO RPG.
The loot shooter.
Yeah, exactly. Destiny-esque Iron Man suits, open world, whatever.
With Anthem.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. It's
Reviews have slowly started coming out because of EA Origin Pass, whatever the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. You pay extra money, you get the game a week early before it's like public release. And so some reviews have started coming out, and they're very lukewarm,
to
the least. Surprise. Averaging 6.5 out of 10 area, which is not great.
Surprise, surprise, a grinding looter game has either issues with the story or endgame content.
But it's BioWare.
Yeah.
Which is the weird part. Everything I've read about it or seen about the lore story stuff happening in Anthem is like people just don't care about a BioWare game. a story in a BioWare game. People just don't give a shit. And like the decisions you get to make are inconsequential, seemingly.
Yeah, I was reading
so far.
I was reading a review, and it's and again, I've only played the demo. And the demo was fun. It really was. But again, anytime we were playing it, we were like saying, okay, but I need to know what the end game content is going to be like, what the story is. I mean, there's clearly issues with the game, even from the beta.
Yeah.
But, but it's a beta and you're expect
gonna have,
that.
You're going to have issues. That's normal.
Yeah. The reviews I'm reading are, okay, you have some sort of, I don't know, disagreement with some NPC, and you know, that's dialogue's going to be rough, but then you go into a side mission and it's like, it never even happened.
Then they're happy to see you.
Right. And it's like,
and the opposite of that too, where you smooth things over with somebody. This is from the IGN review. I think I watched you smooth things over with an NPC. And then if you talk to them out of main story context, they're pissed off at you still.
Right.
Which that can get resolved. Patched,
yeah,
but they like I don't know, man. I don't want to wish ill upon that game either. I don't know why I'm saying that a lot today, but I'm not planning on buying it now. Also, the IGN review said that the end game content is good, but there's not enough, which sounds, you know, like a repeat of Destiny 1 and 2.
Yep. It even sounds a lot like The Division.
Yeah.
You know.
Dude, I'm intrigued by the game because I love BioWare. Do I wait a year and then or two and then maybe get it?
I guess it would depend on how quickly they start improving on some of these things, which is what got, how do you pronounce his name? Mike Ibarra. Ibarra. That's what got him in trouble. Because
he's an executive at Microsoft.
He's a VP. PC Gamer sent out a tweet that said Anthem's worst section has already been improved. That's great to hear. I don't know what the worst section was.
That was Legionnaire mode.
Okay,
but there, I don't know if you guys got that far in the beta.
I didn't know.
Apparently there's a section called something to do with Legionnaire. I don't know. I don't think it's a mode, like it's a subsection of the game where I think it's kind of like strikes, and I could be way off on that.
Oh, okay. Please okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. There's there's three different tiers.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it took a long time to grind up to the level needed to unlock that. And cause that was some good content apparently.
That's right.
But it took a long, long time to get there. So now they've reduced that level cap to level three. So like you can unlock it pretty quick now. That's what that was talking about.
Okay. So Mike Ibarra says, this is actually very easy to do. Amazed at the whining. One reviewer, not the below, reviewed the game, yet in the review cited that he didn't even know how to do a combo. Embarrassing to review with such a lack of knowledge. Now,
why?
In a weird way, I can understand, like I can kind of dig through that comment and understand what he's trying to say.
I can see where he's coming from.
But he's doing it horribly.
But Mike. No, Mike.
Well, and then later, as he's getting obviously tweeted at, He goes, I don't do quote unquote reviews because everyone enjoys different things. I'd suggest quote unquote modern reviews should be watching streamers play a game, doing the demo, listening to what your gaming friends think, and if it seems like something you will enjoy, then great.
No, and Mike.
And then
stop, Mike, stop right now. No.
And then very much later in the day, which I think is he's trying to just dig himself out of this hole, Def should also read reviews from your favorite sites / journalists as input. Many things to look at to help determine if you will like or dislike a particular game. I reference many of them all the time for my own decision making. The more the better. That's such a backtrack if I've ever fucking read one. Oh,
yeah. He pumped the brakes real hard.
So I think what he's trying to say is... Yes, okay, don't necessarily base how you will enjoy a game off of somebody you've never met who reviewed the game. I know personally I would much rather, you know, trust, you know, your point of view on a game or Chris's or Jeff or Ben.
Likewise with me and you guys.
Right, right. And that's true. However, these people who review these games aren't wrong. Like,
no.
It is their opinion a lot of times.
And they're allowed to have said opinion.
Exactly. And if a lot of people are screaming about a problem, guess what,
Mike? Means there's a problem.
Yes, it's a problem.
I'm not going to say deservedly so, but unsurprisingly got absolutely demolished by a lot of people on Twitter. Sure. Which is, that's all Twitter's for anyway, so... If you have any kind of position in any mm-hmm. kind of company and put out anything, mm-hmm. like you're welcoming it by hitting send.
But, I mean, he clearly likes the game and he got very defensive about it.
So not funnily. You know, Inside Gaming's back to the baby came home to mm-hmm. Adam Kovic and the Funhouse guys.
Yep.
So they talked about it the other day, and I watched the video. It's really interesting. So apparently, Microsoft, there's a possible correlation here with maybe Microsoft or Mike Ibarra himself or some of the higher people have a vested interest in how well Anthem does because they partnered up with yep. EA to like promote it.
They signed an exclusive marketing deal with EA to promote the game.
So they want it to do well. And I mean, like I said, there's some tepid reviews out there, so this isn't necessarily a great look for Mike Ibarra and company, but you know, maybe he actually does, and he could actually like the game, which is absolutely sure. fine. And like, he's entitled to his opinion to defend it anyway, even if mm-hmm. he does have a vested interest in it. This isn't like a disclosure thing. You need to like say, you know, it's nothing, right. He's not putting out a review where you would need to say, I own stake in said company or said game, blah, blah, blah. So he's totally entitled to feel however he wants about any review out there, because like anyone. But it does kind of make me go,
Yep, a little bit. And it's fine. I mean, if you like the game, yes.
Play it. Do it.
Play it. Try it out. Talk to your friends about it. Watch reviews. Do all the stuff that he's suggesting you do in his severe backpedal. My problem is he just felt like an elitist. Like, stop all the whining. Like,
I don't think he did the thing where, especially if I had a few, and I think of something funny, I'll type it out and like, do I really want to put this out there? Yeah, it's a good idea. Am I gonna wake up tomorrow and be like, ooh,
oops.
May have crossed the line.
Oh shit, I'm trending on Twitter. Yeah, you fucked up,
bud. I said the wrong thing. Or maybe it's that funny. I don't know.
I don't know. It feels like one of those things of like, hey Mike, I understand what you're trying to say, but we've had enough of these grinding looters come out with the same exact issues. You can't just keep being a thing. Like,
I want it to do well too. I want our friends who there's a few of us that are planning on getting it. I want to be like, this game's actually really fucking good. You need to get it.
From what I've played, I've had a lot of fun. Granted, yeah. I've always been ready to wait on buying it. I'm not going to pre-order it. I'm not going to buy it right away. I am waiting because I wanted to see what would happen first. Well, but I had planned on...
EA was involved. That was like...
Yeah, big time.
And Apex allowed me to change my mind a little bit, but that's a free game, so...
Yep. We'll see how it goes. But Mike put the phone down and just take a knee for a bit.
Mike, if you want to review our podcast, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
I encourage it. He's fine. It's fine.
Don't whine about it.
Everyone's allowed to their opinion.
Exactly.
Just like my opinion is that you should totally get yourself a nice end table from Slumberyard Handcrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Can't recommend it enough. Slumberyard Handcrafted is your source for custom wood furniture, woodworks, and sawmill services. From tables to beds, cutting boards to benches, and everything in between, they are here to build your dream. You can visit their website at slumberyardhandcrafted.com, where there you can see a portfolio of their previous work, a calendar of upcoming events, and if you have something in mind, you can schedule yourself a design session for free. Cannot recommend it enough. As everyone probably knows by now, or if you're new, now you will know. It's owned by our good friend and listener to the podcast, Josh. I have several things he's made for me and my wife, which I sleep in one of them every single night. And, you know, it's good stuff. So do yourself a favor. Go to slumberyardhandcrafted.com and get yourself a nice wine cabinet. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Or a nice end table. I always say end table.
Yep.
That's the running joke in our friend group anyway, but...
He makes everything out of end tables. That's the nice joke.
Fun fact, my bed frame, several end tables just put together.
It's just one very large end table that you sleep on.
Thank you for sponsoring us, Josh. And thank you, Slumberyard.
So nothing else major happened, right?
No, definitely no major shakeups in any of the companies that put games out there.
Nothing at all.
I was actually a little sad when I saw it trending on Twitter, and I was like, "What the? Why is Reggie Fils-Aimé, who is the president of Nintendo of America, why is he trending?"
Mm-hmm.
Initial thought: every time I see a fame, like somebody I know who is out, like you know, publicly known,
you thought he on Twitter, you thought he died, right?
I thought he died.
So did I.
And I was like, "Oh shit,
no,
that's not good." when someone asked, when I put in our gaming chat that Reggie. Is no longer the president of Nintendo of America. Someone asked what happened, and I said he died from retirement.
Yep.
So yeah, Reggie Fils-Aimé, who has been the president of Nintendo of America for
15 years, right?
Which is basically as long as I can remember at this point.
Since 2003?
Or maybe even a little earlier than that.
Maybe. I don't know how long he's... Because was he president right away as soon as he stepped in?
I think so.
So it'd be 15 years.
So, long, long time. Brought us the Switch. The Switch. Well, he did bring us the Switch, but like the fucking Wii. Like through the Wii U, now here at the Switch. He's hanging up his Mario Cappy hat. And moving on to greener pastures of well-earned rest, I think.
Yeah, real quick. He joined Nintendo in 2003 as the executive vice president of sales and marketing, and then became president in 2006.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was right around the Wii launch.
Yep.
So he stepped into some big boots, and boy, did he fill them.
Yeah, he reinvigorated... a company that felt stale
in America, at least
in America. Yes. But granted, but for a few years, they just kind of felt like, cause you remember there was that stretch of time when people talked about Nintendo, you were like, yeah, it's Nintendo.
And they're like, yeah, I mean, I love playing my Super Nintendo or regular Nintendo, whatever, Game Boy. Like, I mean, for a long time they just did handhelds. Different variations of them.
Yeah.
And they were successful there. But they brought the 3DS around, which was kind of mind blowing at the time. And then you realize it really just hurt your eyes. So you just turned off that feature and never really used it.
Then it was,
but
then it was just a DS.
Yeah, then it was just DS. And then it came out with the 2DS. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's seen some peaks and valleys, but he left on probably the highest note of his career after the Switch launch and immediate success of said Switch. So now we got new blood, and
it's just perfect.
I told Misty about it. She was like, "Oh no! Like, please tell me it's not just some like young blood that wants to come in and shake things up."
Nope.
New guy, meaning no offense to him, is not young.
Nope.
He's been around for a long time. I've heard of his name for the past several years because I always thought it was funny that some dude named Doug Bowser was a part of Nintendo.
Nintendo, yep.
And now he's the new president of Nintendo of America.
Yep, Bowser.
The irony is not lost upon anyone, I think.
It's perfect.
It's and so his, good.
And his tweet announcing that, or was it a video?
I've only seen the still image, so it could have been a video, it could have been a tweet. I
think
it
was Mario and Luigi.
Says, "Thank you for the warm welcome," holding up a sign, so I think it was just a picture. Yep. But
Mario and Luigi are in a back shelf, over his shoulder, like tied up.
Tied up with a Nintendo 64 controller.
It's fucking great.
It's so great. Oh, I mean, who knows how he'll actually be, but like, he has a large role to fill, but also possibly coming in at one of the easiest times of his career too, because they can't do really anything wrong.
Yeah, and I think he's coming from the sales and marketing,
I believe so,
area too, right?
Yes, I believe you kind of find it. If I'm not mistaken, I think he took the same path Reggie did.
I feel like it sounds about right.
And Reggie Fils-Aimé, it's definitely one of the presidents, executives of a large company who got it, quote unquote, had no problems poking fun at himself or the failures from Nintendo.
Or their competitors.
Like, he just seemed like an all-around cool dude.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're off to a great start with when you just have the last name be Bowser. Like, you're fine. Do whatever you need to do.
Yep. I'm interested to see where this is going to go. I'm assuming Reggie got to also have a hand in picking his predecessor.
I'd hope so, right?
You would think. Considering the success that Nintendo has had under his, you know, tenure, you would think, like, you would be out of your mind to not say, hey.
I'd hope so.
Who would you want to replace you, and who do you trust to do this?
Doug Bowser seems like a stand-up dude.
Yeah. So,
I mean, also, it's still nothing founded yet, but the rumor mill right now is that Xbox One Game Pass will be brought over to the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
So the only reason I'm really willing to think it's a real thing is just the sheer number of different articles saying they have sources saying that this is probably going to happen at some point. Which basically, Xbox One Game Pass is, instead of having Xbox Live, you pay, it's $10 a month, and you have access to a bunch of different AAA titles that you can play at any time. It's basically the way some articles, this article on Polygon we read, compared it to Netflix for games. So
nothing wrong with that.
No. And I mean, that's not a new concept by any means. Gamefly and there's a couple others that have come and gone, but I think Gamefly's still around. Maybe not. I don't know. But they had more of the old school Netflix subscription model where they'd send you discs and then you'd send them back and get new discs. But so this is all digital, and is one of Phil Spencer's, who is Microsoft's president, like his baby, and it's popular, and Nintendo and Xbox have been buddy buddy for a little while now, because they allow crossplay in Minecraft via Switch and Xbox or PC. So it makes sense that this could be a next step for them. And the Polygon article I referenced earlier, who's done by Chris Plant, kind of poses the question, what if the Xbox just transforms from a console to an app? Which I think is a great, great question.
It is.
Because I had the same thought earlier in the week, and so then I found an article from a reputable website that allowed me to justify, that was the ends to my justified means now. So, poses like, what if Phil Spector, or Spector, Jesus, wrong dude, Phil Spencer, very different dude.
Very.
What if Phil Spencer brought Xbox games, like, or Xbox Live, or whatever it's called. Fuck. like, made it so it's an app on your smart TV, your Roku, your Apple TV. Like, it can be multitude of places and just commonplace. So instead of now having to have a console, you can just turn on your TV and play games that way. With one less step in between, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Would they still... I wonder if they would still sell Xbox gaming consoles.
They have plans for a next generation.
Yeah, right? Like, you would... If people still want to play on a console, it's just a computer that's built in a way to be a console. That, I mean, that's all it is.
And they basically did it with the Windows 10 update.
Yeah, yeah. And it's cross-play with you know, PC players, most games now.
And it's on Switch. And
like... some Switch. It's... This is very intriguing to me because it just... It's just going to further... It's going to do one of two things. It's either going to force Sony into pulling their head out of their ass and joining the rest of the world who wants to cross-play with each other. Who gives a shit what you're playing on? Gamers have their preferred methods of how they play, but they would all like to play with each other.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not gonna hurt your sales on your PS5 or whatever. The people who liked Sony are gonna still buy it. It's either gonna do that, or it's just gonna further alienate Sony, and I think it could ultimately hurt them, because while I probably won't buy the new, you know,
it would take a while.
Yeah, but I personally wouldn't buy, I'm not going to buy the new Xbox, whatever gen that is, because I have a gaming PC, and if I can just play it on my computer anyway, fuck it.
I already got it, yeah.
Right, so, and I have a Switch. Boom. Yeah. According to this relationship, I'm already set up to continue on playing however I want to play.
Well, and a while ago, a few months ago, Phil Spencer said he wants to bring Games Pass to your mobile phone. Like, you all have phones, right?
Yeah. I want to play Diablo on it.
Yeah. so, I mean, like, it makes sense in my mind. If you're going to put it on smartphones, put it on Switch, too, because that, yeah. I mean, it's similar.
Yeah.
So, like, Chris Plant poses another good question, where he's like, if Xbox as a streaming platform is available in every app store, Microsoft could bring its streaming service to any smart TV and streaming device without all this backroom deal making necessary for Switch, mm-hmm. and reach a considerably bigger audience. So this is like kind of like they don't necessarily need to partner up with Nintendo if
no.
they don't want to, but they also have been pretty cozy lately.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's almost like a first step, right? So if they decide to allow it to be on any app store, they would just say, hey, Nintendo, definitely make it available in your, you know, Nintendo store if you want, or make it available to be downloaded on your Nintendo Switch. We can keep this relationship going. People are still going to buy, you know, your console. They just might want to play some Xbox games on it, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, my only concern is something on that level. If it were to be successful, I would just worry about streaming quality.
So off of that, the way it works currently is Game Pass, you need to download it onto your Xbox One, but then they have their service called xCloud, which allows you to play it on your PC. Okay. And presumably, if it goes to smartphones or wherever it goes, you need a strong internet connection to be able to use it. So hardwired or right next to your router, I guess. So it's, I mean, the foundation's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's really just going to come down to what do they want to do, what the business end of things mean. But Xbox or Microsoft has been moving kind of away from the Xbox for a while now.
Yeah, since I think since the Xbox 360, it feels like. Because even the Xbox One was marketed as not just a gaming console.
No.
It was an entertainment system, right?
And then everyone cried out, we actually want this to be a gaming console.
Right, right. Like, that's the whole reason I'm buying it. Like, I don't need it to show me TV through it and all that shit you want to do. Which is cool. I'm not saying it's not a cool idea. Like,
it's not a bad feature, no.
No, I appreciate it. It's just when I owned an Xbox One, I only used it to either stream Netflix or play video games.
Right.
But that's just because, you know, that shit happens.
It's, I mean, yeah. And like, the company themselves have moved away from having, like, crazy exclusives on Xbox other than Halo mm-hmm. and Gears. But now Gears you can play on PC as well outside of Xbox. So, like,
right.
That's no longer exclusive. I'm assuming Halo 6? Is that what we're coming up to?
It feels like it.
That will, I assume, also be able to play it on PC whenever that ends up coming out. If Microsoft still wants to make money, it makes sense to just put an app out everywhere you can.
Yeah. I love the idea.
It is a good idea.
Right.
And it, all the more reason, like, if you have a Switch, like, it's just an extra nice feature. Mm-hmm. And if it does end up happening, like, that's a game changer. Like, that's a literal game changer for the whole industry. And Doug Bowser is, like, kind of set up pretty well. Even if it doesn't work out.
Right. He's walking right into it. And, I mean, I feel like you'd have to try pretty hard to fuck this up.
I would not put it past Microsoft or Nintendo to possibly fuck it up.
No. I definitely would. I'm not going to hold my breath that they won't do it. But if it fails in the right way, it's still not going to be such a big deal, I guess. Kind of like how they did with the Nintendo did with the Wii U. Like,
sure.
It failed, but really, I mean, they rebounded into the Switch.
Yeah.
You know, it's all in how you handle, because the Wii U was a great idea. And then
it just wasn't executed that well.
Exactly. And then they perfected it with the Switch. And it's like, okay, that's great. So, and
the Switch has its flaws too, but it's so popular and sold so incredibly well that now games can start adapting to mm-hmm. what it is now and build off of that. So, like, more quality games can come out for it. And if you can somehow play Xbox games on it, all the better.
Yeah.
Because then you can literally play it on the go if it doesn't come to smartphones first. Like, as long as you have data or a strong internet connection, you can do it. It's going to be an interesting couple years, I think.
Yeah.
For these two companies.
But I'm always excited when, you know, the top three
mm-hmm.
start working together. And really, I should say two of the top three, because Sony doesn't work with anybody.
Going back to the Game Awards,
when
Reggie and Phil and I forget Sony's president, Sean something.
Mm-hmm.
When all three of them were on stage, we're like, what if they announce it?
Oh, God, that would have been epic. Crossplay.
And honestly, like, to have all three of them share the stage together, that's not been done before. So that was actually really cool to see. And maybe a hint at something happening in the future. And now with the rumor mill between Nintendo and Xbox, I think we're heading that direction. It's going to take a while, but I think we'll have some interesting, fun things to talk about and see.
Yeah, I really want this to work, so that in the hopes that it just, you know, somebody like Sony sees mm-hmm. how much the fans want this so that they acquiesce.
So. And yeah, and I think they're more open to the idea, but mm-hmm. I think, or at least Sony in America or in Europe, maybe, I think most of the pushback's coming from Japan.
That sounds about right. And but it just feels like that old, like the old grump that's like, no, I don't like change. And it's yeah, like, well, come on, head, man.
I mean, Sony is much more than just a gaming company. And yes. the dudes yes. heading up Sony in Japan are definitely of the old school type mm-hmm. And have been in their positions for a long, long time, seen over everything, including like movies, just, you know, movies, other distribution, yes. production, like home entertainment, just like other than the PS PlayStation, like. Sony's on a lot of different things.
but even with that, it's like, so is Microsoft, though.
True.
But I mean, again, it's that, you know, they're getting that young blood in there to like head, you know, the actual gaming,
yeah,
you know, studio, opposed to like, okay, Microsoft on your computer or a business sense is very much separate from Xbox and
yes.
You know, so, and that's a good thing. So,
absolutely. So, I mean, like I said, future is going to be interesting and fun, I think. Or at least be fun to, I don't know. I like the business sides of all this shit, just the goings ons. I don't know why I like it so much. If you told 12 year old me I'd like it, like, you'd say fuck off, but give me more games.
Yes.
More games on everything. But. I think that's going to lead us to Tweet Corner. Insert Chris yawning Tweet Corner there. I think that's a good one.
Tweet Corner. I'll just do an impression of him. Yeah.
We got a couple. One from Facebook, one from Twitter. The Facebook one we almost forgot about because it was like 2 weeks ago. But coming from allegedly Jeff... Jeff allegedly via Facebook, hashtag Tweet Corner. How much money do you think you spend per year on video games? How much have you spent in your life on games? And my immediate response is oof.
Yeah. Oh, woof.
When we talked about this earlier, your answer of either way too much or not enough.
Yep, it's both. Perfectly way too sums much that up, and but. Not enough at the same time. How much money do you spend each year on video games? Last year it feels like a lot more than usual because of all the fucking games that came out
this past year. If from like today's yeah. date to last year from today's date, my
god,
a lot because of the Switch.
Yeah, and then but then you had Red Dead 2, and you had God of War, and you had
Spider-Man,
and Call of Duty. I mean, I bought so many games last year.
We bought two consoles.
Yes.
if you want to count that too.
I mean, mine was given. The Switch was given as a gift.
True.
But I'm pretty sure, was it last year or was it the year before I bought a new video card? Because I include that because it's my gaming computer. Like, I
right.
didn't just buy a normal run-of-the-mill graphics card. I bought it to game. God, I don't know. I probably spend in a year.
You want to do just games or do you want to include console?
I feel like it all goes together.
Okay.
Because you buy a console to play specific games at times.
Yes.
So I feel like those go hand in hand. I think they just have to.
Okay.
Shit. It probably averages out to like a game a month. No, I don't buy 12 games a year. Or do I?
How many Switch games have you bought?
A few. Shit. I mean, it probably does. Last year probably averaged out. I probably bought more than 10 games.
Let's see. I'm trying to do the quick math in my head, and that's tough.
It is.
It's with consoles and everything, it's a few grand, I think. And I mean, and I didn't even buy, like, my PC's been well over a year old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm still a lot, because I didn't buy God of War, borrowing that, but Red Dead 2, Spider-Man, COD, like, and, Overcooked.
Yeah, and we're just thinking of the major things. We're not even thinking of, like,
all the Mario games.
We're not thinking of the Jackpacks, the new one that you got.
Yep.
Is that 5?
Yes, I believe so. And then I got both Bayonettas on Switch.
Yeah.
Fucking Monster Hunter World.
Which I've thought about buying that just to play with you.
Honestly, like, get it whenever. Wait till it's really on sale, because it will be out really on sale soon.
Sure.
And then because I do want to get into it a little bit, and it'd be a lot more fun if I didn't do it by myself.
Co-op, yeah.
And I know Ben has it too, so he'd play with us.
Wow, it's tough. It's probably it depends on the year, but yeah, it's probably a good at least $600. That's probably a low year to a couple grand, depending on if new consoles are coming out, if we need to upgrade our computer, what kind of games are coming out. Once VR becomes a thing, I just know I'm gonna get a VR setup.
I'm waiting. Yeah. Like it, this past year has been out of normal. Because of all the crazy good stuff that has come out, and Nintendo and the Switch and everything.
Switch,
like that.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm definitely between 3 and 4 grand, maybe more. Even, I mean, I'll say 5 at most.
That's a heavy year for sure.
And it's not the norm. So I'd say on an average year, I'd probably only buy maybe myself probably 6 to 8 games per year.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Around the $40 to $60 mark per game. So that's, you know, $600, seven, you know.
That's kind of where I'm thinking. Probably on an average, $600 a year on just games.
This past year specifically has been a very unaverage year. So
yeah,
it's way up there.
God, but then over our entire lifetime...
Over my entire lifetime, I'm well in 5 figures.
Easy. Insert Chris's, Dustin's old joke.
yeah.
Because my first gaming...
I was going to say, you got a few years on me, so...
My first gaming system was the original Nintendo. And then it was Sega, and then PS1, PS2, PS3, PS4, Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One, gaming computers... it's got to be 5 figures. Easily.
I don't think it's anywhere close to 6, but like
no
mid 5 maybe.
It's up there.
It's way up there.
It's probably the thing that I spend the most money on outside of food.
That's my it's my entertainment. Like,
it is.
And our parents' generation had different kinds of entertainment, but like this is our generation's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it sounds crazy, and like that's way too much money, but that's most people our age.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
like,
think about how much money our parents spend on like cable TV each month.
Right.
Or, you know, like we put that money into internet and video game entertainment. So like I don't go out and see a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
I will see the major ones that I want to see, but outside of just watching Netflix, Hulu, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube, which is free because I refuse to pay for it. Yeah, it's
sure
video
you don't
games
get premium.
I had it for 3 months for free when they did that 3-month try it out.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck, I miss it sometimes, but I refuse to pay the money to do
it. I just don't care enough. Yeah.
Man, when you can do it with lock your phone or do it without the ads, you miss it when it's gone. But
yeah. Also, Jeff responded to his own question with a hashtag 401k. So
yeah,
throwing that out there. Hey man, I still put in my 401k. It's doing
all
right.
I do too. God, it's a lot. If I really thought about it, it's a lot more than I
here's
would think.
My actual answer is I can't give you an accurate number because it's that high.
I agree. I concur with that. And I will still say way too much and also not enough.
Yep.
Because I don't regret the amount of money I've spent.
So our other question comes from Twitter, from @Myron, our homie and
our baby boy,
non-existent member of this episode, @CGY podcast. With Apex Legends doing very well under EA, what does this mean for Anthem and Battlefield 5, whose BR mode is coming out next month? You read our fucking minds, bro.
Well, Chris.
if you want to rewind 30-ish minutes.
Yeah. You'll hear us talk all about it. And that's
maybe a little more, 40 minutes, 50 minutes.
That's legit. That just tells you how well the three of us think about these episodes. Like, he's at work and tweeting in exactly what we thought while we were talking.
If we were women, our periods would be synced up right now. So it's EA is pulling itself apart technically because
their periods attract bears. Putting the whole office in jeopardy.
They could smell the menstruation. I mean, they're dividing themselves, funnily enough. And like, I'm willing to say I very much enjoy Apex and will congratulate EA for helping put that out and simultaneously probably saving Respawn.
So what is that old adage? Something about a blind squirrel. You know, that's
nuts.
EA. You're gonna find one eventually, and they did it with Apex.
So you know, it will detract from Battlefield 5 and Anthem, because Battlefield 5 launched very poorly, and it's kind of seeming like Anthem's not gonna do great, but maybe it will. I did have a friend on PlayStation yesterday. I saw playing it because they have EA access or whatever. So I mean, they got somebody.
I mean, it's either going to backfire in typical EA fashion, or it's gonna surprise everyone, and they're going to carve out their slice of the pie in three different areas and do it fantastically.
They are spinning a lot of plates right now on their fingers simultaneously, and I think one of them's gonna fall and break.
And I think it's gonna be Anthem.
I think it might be Battlefield.
I was torn between those two, but for some reason I just
granted they're when they release Firestorm, that's gonna make or break Battlefield, but I mean, like, and DICE is still updating the multiplayer and stuff like that. They just started a whole new I forget what they call it, but it's like they have a whole new mode out right now, and most of the people I've seen playing it and talk about it dislike 2/3 of it. So it's like one of Grand Operations. Do you remember those from Battlefield 1 at all? Did we ever try those out?
I don't think we did.
All right. Basically, it's like you 64-man server, and you play a round of some game mode. Usually, I think it starts off with Conquest or something like that. And then that's day one. And then whoever wins it gets a slight advantage going into day two. And then usually the game mode's different. And then sometimes if that's tied, there will be a day three, and that's a different game mode as well, like Rush or something like that. The way they did it, just they released it yesterday or the day before yesterday, and it's not going over great. So who knows? They can still fix that, but mm-hmm. with everything else, that the issues they've had from top to bottom, basically.
I don't know. I mean, you might be right. I mean, given the how long Battlefield has been a series, mm-hmm. Anthem is the one thing it's got going for it is that it's new. So
yep, it's the new hotness.
So I mean, sure. I guess
it could even out, and they could all eventually even out and be fine.
Yeah.
I want to be negative because it's EA, but
yep, that's your first reaction.
At the same time, I don't know. It could be Anthem.
The only thing I hope is that Apex continues to improve and they continue to update it.
And they should.
Right.
I mean, they already have their roadmap out for the next several months, like we talked about mm-hmm. earlier. And they've already released new content. And in the next month or two, we're getting a couple more new character, like legends. So, like, yep. you know, they got a plan. And their whole entire team is focused on Apex. So, like, it'll be harder to fail for them unless EA fucks them over somehow.
Which is always a possibility.
It's gotta be. So yeah. Anything else to add to that? Oh, he also says hashtag tweet corner, hashtag miss you babies, BBs.
Mm-hmm. We miss you too.
Miss you too, BB. But to be fair.
To be fair.
He's putting in that work today.
Yes, he is.
Also, shout out to Boykin. Wallstormer, who's playing Apex Legends right now.
Is he playing it right now?
Yeah, I see it on Discord. We got to have him back soon.
Yes, we do. I want to be on an episode with him. So
I couldn't get a hold of him in time for this today, but that's okay. It's fun to do these one-on-one chats.
Mm-hmm.
But that is going to do it from us today for episode 45. Let me bring out the Google Doc. Please follow us on Twitter or Facebook at CGY Podcast. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or follow us on Spotify, Google Play, Podbean. Please tell your friends to listen to us. Let's grow this audience, grow this family. And we have a website, which we still need to update, frontierpodcast.com. I've said it the past two episodes, and we've been pretty lax on it, but external circumstances have been happening as well.
Mm-hmm.
As usual, we end every episode with a shower thought from Reddit. This week's shower thought comes from user Mr. Big Naughty Boy. I didn't read his name till now.
Shit.
Everyone is sad that after 15 years, opportunity has died without finding life on Mars. When in reality, there may be billions of teeny tiny Martians celebrating that they finally killed the marauding invader after 15 years. And that's going to do it from episode 45 of Come Gear Podcast. I've been your host, Adam.
I've been Dustin.
And he's Chris. And we'll see you next time.